Why is it relevant to have explainability if, for example, human behavior is a black box?
If we have, you know, decision-making AI systems that are unleashed into society on a large scale that are unable to explain at all why they make their decisions, we can't really challenge them in any way. And they start to acquire a sort of, you know, an oracular quality. Like, these are sort of fortune-telling creatures that we sort of have to trust.
Welcome back to The AI Element, a show about what AI can actually do. I'm your host, Alex Shi. Our first season focused on how AI was beginning to be used in businesses big and small. For the second season, we want to focus on some of the tough challenges around trust and adoption of artificial intelligence. A big buzzword in AI right now is explainability, the ability of an AI model to explain the reasons it made a certain decision. In this episode, we'll hear about how an award-winning AI healthcare startup is using explainability to build trust with doctors and improve engagement with their systems. However, much of the AI community can't even agree on whether it's something worth pursuing. Some researchers, including Facebook's chief AI scientist Jan de Keun, suggest that rigorous testing is enough to provide an explanation, that you can infer a model's reasoning by observing how the model acted in many different situations. But not all of us are chief AI scientists. We don't understand the computer science underlying the logic of an AI. Don't we deserve a simpler explanation? Some governments are enacting laws that enforce the right to an explanation. These could allow you to understand a decision an AI model has made about you. This should create a barrier to entry for applications in different contexts. What are the technological concepts that underlie explainability? The techniques that will give us confidence that AI is helping us make right and just decisions. Our first guest is Nicole Rigillo, a Bergeron Research Fellow based at Element AI in our Montreal office. She's been exploring the importance of explainable AI and how humans and intelligent machines negotiate with each other. She's working on an article about how it applies to the ethics of deploying machine learning models.
So the article is about explainability for decision making. So it departs from this observation that what we see in the application of AI lately is its use for augmenting or even entirely replacing human decision-making in various domains, right? Mm. So we see the use of AI in the criminal justice system, for example, with the Compass algorithm that's used by judges in US courts to decide whether or not to give a prisoner bail. We see it used in the decisions of physicians in the ER, right? So is this patient going to have a cardiac arrest or are they not? Can AI help you to make that decision and make a call on what to do and how to act? We see it used in the insurance industry. So one of the issues with this, of course, is that a decision made by an artificially intelligent system is not the same as a decision made by a human being. And so The article tries to lay out some of the differences between the ways that those decisions are made and also the need for explainability and interpretability when it comes to decisions made by AI systems.
So what is explainability?
So explainability is an area of AI science that brings together learnings from machine learning, design, and the social sciences to make black box AI models comprehensible to their human users. So to make those decisions understandable to a human that has to act on that decision.
So what is a black box?
So a black box model can refer to two different kinds of machine learning models. On the one hand, a black box model can be a deep neural network, for example, like computer vision. So this is a model whose computations are so complex, we just can't as humans understand them. So We can see that a machine learning model is very effective at identifying and categorizing an image of a cat as a cat, but how it does that is not easily explained to humans. There isn't really like a few lines that we can use to explain like, oh, I just did this. It's thousands of computations that are going into that. On the other hand, another kind of black box model could be a model that isn't necessarily a deep learning model, but one whose code is proprietary, basically. Mm-hmm. And so we see this often with commercial AI products. So of course, a company that releases their commercial AI product isn't interested in making that model transparent for people, because if they did, it could be easily copied. And doesn't necessarily mean that it's terribly complex, but it's just that the people who use it don't have access to understand how it functions.
Why is it relevant to have explainability if, for example, human behavior is a black box?
You know, AI isn't a human, right? Mm-hmm. AIs don't reason or think the way that we do. And it's not a human, right? We might say that, humans are inscrutable, et cetera, but there are still mechanisms and ways for us to audit the explanations for their decisions, right? Humans will make a decision, but we still have access in certain ways to their explanation. If we disagree with it, we can challenge it. We can do something with it. However, if we have, you know, decision-making AI systems that are unleashed into society on a large scale that are unable to explain at all why they make their decisions, we can't really challenge them in any way. And they start to acquire a sort of, you know, an oracular quality. Like, these are sort of fortune-telling creatures that we sort of have to trust. So yeah, there's a philosopher, Arno Schubach, who says that because of this sort of inscrutability of these black box models, like, we don't understand their computations, they take on the character of a human decision that we should just trust. But I don't think that that's true. And I don't think there are many people who would, there's no reason for us to believe or trust in an AI system that way without it having gained our trust. It's clear that explainability is one of the key ways that we can tap into to generate that trust. So earlier, researchers tended to apply this model of algorithmic aversion. So the idea was that people just actually didn't trust algorithms very much, that they preferred to trust humans. And, you know, this might have been because they didn't want to trust algorithms because maybe they would take their jobs, or they're just not understandable, or whatever reason. But actual empirical research is starting to show that people trust algorithms immensely. They trust them more than they trust themselves to make certain types of decisions. So if you ask, there's a study that came out of Harvard Business School last year, where the researcher asked, lay people, regular people that she recruited into the study, whether they would prefer to trust an algorithm to estimate the weight of a person in a photograph, or whether they would trust their own judgment. And most of them chose the algorithm, right? Like, there are certain ways in which we see algorithms, and perhaps because of their, you know, these are mathematical calculations, and maybe we don't think we're capable of the same type of assessments, we see them as more trustworthy than our own decisions. But of course, there are problems with that, right? You know, whether you can apply this insight to our relationship with AI systems, it's not exactly clear yet, but there's a concern about not only undertrust in algorithms, which is something that, you know, we do hear about as well, but also overtrust. And explainability is also a way to mediate that overtrust by offering an explanation that might ask you to question the model's understanding of the world and if it's correct or not.
I honestly am a little bit confused about two concepts that I've been hearing a lot about, and sometimes interchangeably, but they seem distinct. Explainability, interpretability. I think there are a few differences. Can you explain what that is? Why is that significant for the AI community?
So explainability, as I mentioned, is a process and a technique that you would apply to black box model after the fact. So just to give an example, there's an explainability technique called saliency maps. And this is a technique that you use to analyze image data. So let's say there's an image of a cat that you're processing, and you would like to understand, you know, how did the model output this is a cat based on that image data. And a saliency map would highlight, it's almost like a heat map. So it would highlight, let's say, the ears and the whiskers of the cat to give you a sense of what the model found most important in making that output. Another example of an explainability, these are again for vision, but another example from the domain of vision, which I think is really great, and I think everyone should look it up and just to see how amazing it looks, are activation atlases. So these were developed by OpenAI and Google in March 2019. It's a way to basically visualize neurons that are activated, the particular neurons that are activated, and group them together to identify which neurons and which parts of an image are most important in making a classification. So the activation atlases themselves are really beautiful and sort of give you a sense of the way that AI sees, right? So unclear whether or not this is the way that humans see, but, you know, there are different sort of textures that are recognized. There are outlines, there are colors that become important. And one of the examples that they give in outlining how this might be important, let's say, like, what could this do for you actually concretely, is an example that they use of a part of an activation atlas that distinguishes the difference between the neurons that are activated in identifying a frying pan versus a wok. So the computer vision model can clearly identify the difference between the two of these, but what it starts doing is associating noodles with the image of the wok. So
really?
Yeah. So clearly, you know, noodles are not necessarily a feature of a wok, right? A wok is deeper than a frying pan. It has short handles, you know, maybe darker in color. I don't know. But of course, if an AI model is trained on, you know, an image data set that has thousands of pictures of woks, many of them are going to have noodles in it, right? And it's going to make that spurious correlation between noodles and walk and see noodles as an, you know, as a defining feature of what a walk is, which it isn't, right? So, I mean, we can think about how having a similar approach to, let's say, looking at facial recognition data, where we've seen major issues in terms of models not being able to identify, again, faces of people of color. So what is the source of that mistake? This is one way that an explainability model can offer us a glimpse into inside of what is essentially a black box model and help us generate insights into how it thinks, how it reasons, how it sees, what are the errors that it could be making. When we think about interpretability, on the other hand, these are much more simple models that are actually just human interpretable, like without any intermediating activity. So when you look at an example like, let's say, a decision tree or a formal logic algorithm, it's, you know, sort of if this, then that, et cetera, et cetera. And you can just follow very quickly the line of reasoning. So an example of an interpretable model is one that a computer scientist at Duke University developed named Cynthia Rudin. The model is called Corals, and it's an alternative to the Compass algorithm that's used in the criminal justice system in the US. And so while Compass has something like 137 questions that are targeted towards the individual who's been charged, as well as, you know, other kinds of demographic data, historical data based on, you know, other people who have gone through the criminal justice system, Corals is actually just a three rule system. It only goes through three questions that concern the age of the accused, their gender, and number of previous offenses. And that interpretable model, which any human can just look at and understand, Rudin has found that it's as accurate as Compass. There's no difference in the accuracies.
Cynthia Rudin has made a popular argument for using interpretable models for high-stakes decision-making. Models where you can clearly understand the logic, instead of black box models where you don't see the thinking behind it. We got Nicole to sit down with Cynthia Rudin to tell us more.
My name is Cynthia Rudin. I'm a professor of computer science, electrical and computer engineering, and statistical science at Duke University.
What are the cases for you where black box models are appropriate?
Anytime it's not really high stakes, or anytime you don't want to troubleshoot, then black box models are fine. Like if you want to know why your recommendation system keeps recommending this one advertisement to people, you know, post hoc explanation is going to suffice. But if you want to understand why you got denied parole, that's a completely different story. And you actually want to know why you were denied parole. You want to know all the factors and how they were combined and what led to that decision-making process. Lately, some things have gone really badly wrong, though. Like, there have been people denied parole for reasons that they don't really understand. And sometimes those reasons have to do with typographical errors in their records. And I don't think a typographical error in someone's criminal history or their age or something like that should really make a decision about their parole. And in the explainable AI work, people have been trying to figure out what is actually going on in these black boxes. You know, contrast that with interpretable models where you know what exactly all of the computations are because the models are simple enough for a human to understand.
And I'm wondering if you could tell us how you evaluate what a good explanation or an interpretable model is.
So one type of explanation for one domain is not a good explanation for another domain. So for credit risk scoring, I would want to say to you, your credit was denied because your credit history is not long enough and you have this factor and you have that factor about your credit history. Whereas in computer vision or something like that, you can't say, oh, I think that this is an image of, you know, a car going down the street because of that pixel right there. That pixel is blue. Like that doesn't work, right? You have to give a different type of explanation. So there's no really one single good answer for what constitutes a good explanation. On the other hand, there are some types of explanations and some types of interpretable models that seem to work for a lot of different domains. For instance, very sparse linear models or very sparse decision trees are very popular across domains. An example of a decision tree would be a series of if-then rules. Like, if the restaurant is crowded and it's a Friday, then the customer may not want to wait for a table, for instance. That's like a sequence of if-then rules for predicting whether someone will wait for a table at a restaurant.
One of the topics Nicole and Cynthia got deeper into was how to bring more interpretability to the field.
Well, I think there are some technical challenges that we need to address. And the first is the one that I've been trying to address for the last decade or so, which is, can you create machine learning models that are just as accurate as the best complicated black box models, but that have constraints that force them to be interpretable. We're working on that with neural networks right now for computer vision, as well as decision trees and some of the other fundamental types of machine learning problems. And I think when we have that problem solved, that'll at least provide some technology that people can use to test whether you need, whether you can create these interpretable models that are just as accurate as the black boxes. I think another obstacle is a legal obstacle, which is we need laws in place that prevent companies from selling unnecessarily complicated models for high stakes decisions that affect the deeply affect people's lives. You know, if you're going to sell a complicated model, you need to, for one of these high stakes decisions, you should justify that there's no interpretable model that exists that can do the same job. And so far, that hasn't happened. Even the GDPR, even in Europe right now, don't get to that extent. But like laws move much more slowly than technology develops. So that's not too much of a surprise. So, you know, when you trust a black box model, you have to trust not just the model itself, but you have to trust the database that that model was built from. And data are messy. They are just fundamentally messy. So you're going to have problems. There are going to be bigger and bigger problems in the future where hopefully there'll be more people who understand that given two equally accurate technologies, maybe we should use the one that we can process and understand what's going on.
Cynthia's also had some success implementing interpretable models in healthcare.
So we've had some very good responses from our physician collaborators on implementing our algorithms. We have a model that we developed with Aaron Strzok and Brandon Westover, and this is with Burke Ustun, who's my former PhD student. And we developed a model that's being used at the University of Wisconsin and Massachusetts General Hospital. This model is for assessing seizure risk in ICU patients. That model is a transparent machine learning model that's used in practice in hospitals, and it saved over $7 million last year at these two hospitals, and it's being used broadly in several other hospitals now. So it's definitely possible to get these things implemented and working in practice, but it takes work because you have to talk to people, you have to convince people, you have to help them with the code, you have to get it working on their data. It's not easy, but we're getting there.
I'm Benjamin Feld, and I'm the CEO and founder of MacRise.
Benjamin is a former quantitative financial trader who is now working on AI applications in the healthcare field. His startup, MacRise, is rebuilding the foundations of healthcare to make the delivery of care anywhere in the world more predictive. His prior work at a hedge fund was where he learned that explainability would be invaluable to his company's technology, earning the trust of healthcare professionals around the world.
I think if we're going to talk about explainability, we should also think about how different types of people best understand pretty complex things. When I started this fund, we built all of our own technology, top to bottom. There was also this period of a couple months at the beginning where they taught a new person, and in this case, I was one of the first people to be trading electronically, they taught them about futures and options. So these are derivatives. Mm-hmm. And derivatives are really complex. And we went through this period of time where there was somebody in the front of the room and he was explaining the mathematics, how these function mathematically. And I didn't understand anything. It didn't make any sense to me. It wasn't until we sat down in front of some monitors and I could watch markets moving and interacting that I started to understand how derivatives work. And that's really the theme that I want to take, that there is a formal notion of explainability, which in the context of AI very often means this feature means that. This system, when it interacts with this sort of event, generates this sort of response. And in terms of my own experience and how I understand things, it doesn't kind of sink into my brain. And so I would argue that the best way to get to an explainable AI and is to allow people to watch how a system works and interacts preferably in the real world and in real time.
This makes me think of the saliency maps that Nicole had mentioned earlier. But Benjamin takes the imagery much further and gives a great metaphor.
I think the analogy that it makes best sense to me is sort of a machine. If a machine isn't moving, so let's say, you know, maybe it's some kind of industrial machine or it's, you know, it's a digger. It's this sort of thing that you're using to build a house. And first you have to dig the foundation. If that machine isn't moving and just looking at it, and even though you can see many of the components, it's really hard to understand how does this work and what does it do? But when someone is at the wheel and it's being used to, you know, dig a hole, then it's a lot clearer what's going on. And I think that's, for me, ultimately what explainability means is what's the logic and how do I understand how those component pieces interact?
And what have you gone on to build with MacroWise?
One of the first things that we built as a company was this ability to understand the course of care, understand risk, understand the next best intervention by using a notion of patient similarity. So basically, we encoded an approach that I believe any good doctor does in an organic way, which is I walk into your office and you're a physician, and clicking away in your brain is a version of where have I seen a patient like Benjamin before? Where have I read about a patient like Benjamin before? Has a colleague mentioned something like this? And then that's going to change as you ask me some questions, as you observe me. Maybe you also had some lab work done and you're looking at the results. Maybe there was some imaging. So now we're incorporating all these many dimensions of data, and you're doing a version of what in machine learning is called similarity search. I mean, in the sense of you're trying to establish similarity, and similarity is a very rich and powerful and fascinating concept. What we worked on is this ability to take that group of similar patients and then derive predictive insight from them. Hmm. So basically saying, when a patient like this has presented with these characteristics, this next thing usually happens, or one of, you know, your colleagues usually intervene in this way, or the risk usually happens in this case. And it's probabilistic. It's not deterministic. And the other piece that we found very powerful is that a physician can then look at how scenarios like this were resolved. So again, how did my colleague respond to something like this? And the piece that I think is the most powerful of this is this ability for a provider to interact with the software and say, in this case, you're wrong. So, you know, I'm a cardiologist, and this patient who you said was similar to Benjamin, she's not. And she's not in this way. And then we can learn from that input. And the whole process of doing this is very dynamic in the sense of we're learning which features are important in which case and what weight to give them. But again, to go back to this question of explainability, the way that physicians and physician scientists best understood this software was to use it. Going back to that notion of watching it move, we can explain it in great detail, and maybe it's just we're not very good at explaining it, but it really gets down to, I want to see what happens when there's a patient with these characteristics, or I want to see what happens when this specific case presents itself. And then I want to see how the technology responds and what I can do. Sort of watching that sequence of events gives them a sense of that internal logic.
How did you convince those first doctors to give your software a chance?
So that's the hardest thing, or one of the really hard things about doing innovation and or building a startup, is that you have to get people to engage with something that they might not have ever seen before. So our first customer was an institute at Stanford. And the benefit of being in the point zero of Silicon Valley is that there's just this culture of that startups are good and technology is good. And when you're a doctor or a professor at Stanford, that seems to be a part of how you think, that yes, it is good to engage with new companies that are bringing new products. Some of the work that we're doing now, and this is work that is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and it's work with governments, because I think that that's another important point in terms of explainability. And the reason that I wanted to bring that up is that that's a, I think that that's a, an equally important track for all of us to think about in terms of explainability. So one, there are domain experts, and, yeah. and that can be a doctor. We would argue that could also be a frontline health worker who might not have graduated from the equivalent of high school, but she is a domain expert in the sense that she knows more about the community she serves and the context for care than anyone else in the world. That specific place and that specific how care happens there. In both those cases, we want to engage that domain expert. We want them to understand what we're doing because we want their input. Their input is invaluable, and they can share insight that we wouldn't otherwise be able to get. So there is perhaps an exchange mechanism there where if we can make this understandable and logical, this system, this technology they're using, then maybe they'll be more willing to share what they know and that we don't. And then we can incorporate that into the technology. And it's this sort of, this really exciting virtuous cycle that is, that's a part of, in the best cases, how AI works. So there's that domain expert. And then there's people who work in a government, and they might be political appointees. They might be technical experts, but they have this whole other responsibility. They have another piece here where they have to feel comfortable with what we're doing, but they also have to be able to explain it to the extent that they can communicate that to probably their boss or other people around them. So there's always somebody who above the person who you're talking to, who they have to explain some version of what you're doing. Even if they run the whole company, they're going to have a board of directors. They're going to have a public. Maybe they're going to have regulators. There's always that power above. In order for this initiative, this to move forward, in order for us to be able to deploy this technology, they're going to have to probably be able to explain some piece of it to a more general audience. There's machine learning that can surface insight, and then we can explain that insight, and hopefully someone can act on it. But there's very often a large gap there between what we learn or what we discover or what we predict and what actually happens, because it can be difficult and complicated for people to figure out, well, what do I do about that always? And I would argue that even more powerful is machine learning, which can solve problems directly. And for that to happen, there has to be immense amount of trust. And for that trust to be there, that system has to be understood. But I would again argue that for that system to be understood, there has to be some amount of being able to watch it move. And we find very valuable these instances where there is this strong communication between that domain expert and the system itself. And the domain expert can respond to what the system is presenting and revise it or add additional information. And I would say again, that's another way of understanding how it works, because if you add some additional information and then you see how the system responds to that, and maybe there's a different, the prediction changes, that's a kind of way for you to understand in a very intuitive way. You reverse engineered a piece of it. Let me present another analogy. If we want to understand another person, a really effective way to do that is to have a conversation with them. And then there's a back and forth, right? And you know, one person maybe presents an idea or an observation, and then you respond, and then you can see and you can hear how they respond in turn. And that gives you a good sense of who they are, and in a certain sense, how they work. And I would argue for the explainability in the most profound sense, if you can have that amount, that degree of communication and interaction, so that this is the wild promise of machine learning. This is what's magical about it, is it is dynamic. It isn't a static system. So there should be that interaction. It's responsive to change. It's responsive to new information. And that responsiveness will also allow those key participants to much better understand how it works.
explainability is clearly going to be huge in unlocking AI's full potential. But there are many technical hurdles in addition to disagreements within the field. Because the field is relatively new, the different approaches aren't all aligned. One perspective a researcher at Element AI is exploring is explainability by design. This means constructing the entire development pipeline with explainability in mind, including how the data is collected and processed, which AI model is chosen, how it is trained, and how it is deployed. If you want to know more, we have a great set of articles to dig deeper into explainability and the state of research today. You can find those in the show notes, along with a full list of links to the topic mentioned in the show. Any questions we didn't cover? Tweet at us at element_AI and use the hashtag #TheAIElement. We'll cover them in an upcoming episode. Thank you to our guests, Nicole Rigolo, Cynthia Rudin, and Benjamin Fells, and to Bahador Kalegi and Zach Lipton for their insights on explainability. The AI Element is produced by Simon Hudson, Steph Colburn, Amanda DeRupo, and Ali Sirois. Our booker is Claudia Roderi. Show notes and site content by Peter Henderson. Visual design by Weiwei Lin. Shout out to our digital and promotion team, Kayla, Vince, Benoit, Jen, Robin, Caro, and Kevin. Vanessa Dreyfus shot our behind-the-scenes look. Finally, thank you to Anne, Christophe, and Vieira for making this happen.